of God directs our hearts and our minds and our attention to the miracle and the mystery of faith. The mystery of faith. Faith in Jesus, our high priest and king of the universe. When Jesus was resurrected in the flesh, something changed. Things after that moment in history were absolutely different than they were before. Because Jesus violated the natural order of things. He violated the natural order of life and death. What I'm talking about when I say life and death is kind of the normal existence of things, the way that they are now in this fallen world, the things that we've come to know. And honestly, the things that we've become all too familiar and comfortable with after the fall. Because before Jesus, death had the final say over humanity. But now that Christ has come, now that he's died, now that he's resurrected, it's Jesus that has the final say over us. So with his death, with his resurrection, with his ascension, Jesus imposes a new reality down upon us. His reality. His new life, to where death and hell and Satan have as much power over us as they did over him, which is none. Big old goose egg, right? Right? Right. Okay. Wake up now. Resurrection Sunday was the first day of God's new week. It was the moment of sunrise, literally sunrise, after a long, dark night. And when you're meditating on the resurrection, don't just think about it as, you know, kind of your own personal life after death, and that's it. No more. When you meditate on the resurrection, you have to know that it is so much more. It means so much more than just that, because it is about God's new creation, his new age of grace, and life, and love, and what that looks like right here and now. Right even in our midst, what that means. The resurrection of Jesus means that the present, right now, the present is thrust through and through with the presence of God. Because we don't worship the one who was held captive by the grave, do we? We worship the one who burst forth from it and is with us now. We worship the resurrected Lord whose name is Emmanuel. So instead of being the end of the story, as we might think, naturally, the death of God on the cross is instead the beginning of the new age of God and his grace, his mercy, life, and love. The age that we now live in until he returns again. As he hanged on his cross, Jesus bore the sins of the entire world, past, present, and future. And because of this, at least in a sense anyway, at least in a sense, because of this, Jesus died the greatest sinner that the world has ever seen, the world has ever known. Why? Well, it wasn't because he sinned. It was because he bore your sin. It was because he bore my sin. And indeed, all sin was nailed to the cross and was buried with him. As we confess every week, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. This is what it means when St. Paul says, he was made to be sin who knew no sin. And after taking those sins to the grave with him, what did he do? He emerged victorious, spotless and pure, and he emerged in our flesh as our champion. And that is crucial. He emerged in our flesh to make us victors with himself. And he did it so that by his American work, we could apprehend this same victory for ourselves. And how can you and I? You know yourself. I know me. We are weak and feeble. We're frail. We're sick. We are sinful. How can we, like this, apprehend such an incredible gift, an incredible victory over Satan and all of hell even? How can that become ours, for goodness sakes? How can that belong to me? Well, this victory is taken into ourselves only by the power and mystery of faith. Nothing else. Only by the gift of faith can Jesus' victory become ours. By faith, we apprehend the resurrection. By faith, the forgiveness of our sins. It's ours. It belongs to us, even, we can say. So is the new life in Jesus Christ. Only by the miracle and power of faith, that divine gift that lets us to believe and grab onto and apprehend the promises of God. If you've lived long enough in the life of faith, if you've lived long enough as a Christian, then you know that there is a warlike character about the faith, about living in the life of Christ. There's a weariness that comes from living in this disordered, sin-battered world. But the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ proclaims a great, great victory to the sons and daughters of Adam. The battle with evil has been long, it has been cold, it has been hard, it has been bitter. And we have been long and hopelessly lost. But then, from the blood-soaked cross of Jesus Christ, comes the cry of victory for us. It is finished, the Lord says. Death is undone. Hell is over with. Satan is slain. His power taken away. God himself has become the promised land, Lamb of the Passover. Not just for a particular group of people over across the ocean, but for the entire world. He is the Lamb of God for all people. And in so doing, he has crushed Satan under his nail-pierced foot. He emerged as our champion. The long-promised son of Eve, even as he is the son of Mary. And because of him, Paul says, because of him and only because of him, we are more than conquerors. His victory becomes ours through faith. This incredible trust in the Lord Jesus and his salvation. Jesus says faith just as small, just as tiny, just as minuscule as a mustard seed is necessary. Small, childlike trust in God and his promises. Because a faith like this, as small as it may be, shall declare with the word of God that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, our God, who loves us. That's what faith declares and says without wavering. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. So all it takes is faith, just as small as a mustard seed, to grant Jesus and his victory. But don't you know that God desires you to have so much more than just that? It's his pleasure my brethren, to give you all things, even his kingdom, the gospel says. It's God's will and purpose for us that we have a faith so bold and immovable that it imparts strength to the weak, energy and zeal to the feeble, stability to those who would otherwise be blown about by every single wind of false doctrine that comes along in this fallen and darkened world. And God knows there is so much false doctrine out there in the world. We grant this to those who come into contact with us only because we ourselves are built on a foundation, a rock that is unmovable, and whose name is Jesus Christ. Incredible is the power of faith in the Son of God. By the power of faith, the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. By faith, Elijah rains down fire from heaven. By faith, dead sinners like you and like me are brought to life. Die for the sake of their devotion to Jesus, enduring torture even unto death simply because they love him. To the pagan and to the godless, this is foolishness, right? To the chaff amongst the wheat, even in the church, this is nonsense. It doesn't make sense to them. But to the believer, this is life and salvation. And it's the only way of existing now that we know what we know. There is no other way. To have the gift of faith is to have a conviction of things eternal, so positive and certain that it actually gives reality to those things that are not seen. It gives substance to the things that are hoped for. It's the persuasion of divine truth so absolute that you would die for it instead of ever denying it. That's faith. That's faith. It beats back the fear of hell and the fear of death. It knows God's mercy and forgiveness, and it clings to it and does not let go. Because it knows that with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that God is for us. And if God is for us, my brothers and sisters, who would ever stand against us? The second thing that faith is, it's an imparting of the very strength of God to you, the believer, the one who trusts in the Lord. As the psalmist said, "The Lord is my strength. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him." Faith is sort of the opposite of sin. Because what does sin do? When you sin, what does it do? It severs, it damages your relationship with God. It distances you from God every time you sin, whether you know it or not, whether you're ignorant of your sin or you're knowing full well what you're doing. Sin distances you from God. What does faith do? Faith unites you once again to the Holy Trinity. Faith brings you right back to Jesus Christ and joins you to him. One of the chief doctrines of the Lutheran Confession of the Faith is that by faith alone, the risen Christ dwells in us. By faith alone, Christ dwells within each one of us. And it's through this indwelling of the Son of God that the divine life and strength become ours. Now, how about that? God's own life and strength by faith, by the mystery and power of just faith, become ours and enter into us. How about that? And it's then that this strange condition of the believer is brought about, that when a Christian is weakest, guess what? Then I am strongest. Whereas the apostle says, when I'm weak, it's then that I'm strong. And my strength is made perfect in weakness. This means that when a person is weakest in ourselves, when we put off all self-confidence, all of our pride, all of our arrogance, all of our self-trust, all the little things that we try to do to please God and earn salvation, even though we won't admit it, the little things that we do, when we put all of that garbage aside and then rest with absolute confidence only in the Son and what He has done for you, it's only then that I'm strong. It's only then that you are strong. Only then. Great is the strength that God gives to us, His children, through His Son. For the man of faith, for the woman of faith, has the power of the Word of God. The very power of God Himself, the Scripture says. The power of prayer, the power of truth. They're all His. Against His foes, He stands more firm than a mountain, because He's built upon the rock Jesus. Heaven and earth may pass away, and they will one day, but those who are joined to the Son of God will endure into eternity. They will endure forever. So what do we say to all of this? What do we say to this incredible gift that our God gives to us in faith? We say, come hell. Let hell, let the hordes that live there come against the church. Let death try to snatch us away from our Savior. We shall stand and we shall laugh before them, because the resurrected Lord of life, He's ours. He's ours. We shall taunt them with our brother Paul and say, O death, where is thy sting? Because we know that it's been swallowed up forever in the victory of Christ our Savior, our priest, and our King. And by faith, my brothers and sisters, that very victory is yours. In Jesus' holy name, amen.